It's John 8, verses 31 and 32. I'm reading from, this is the New Living Translation, and I apologize because it is the 400 years of the King James Version. So to make up for it, I will ask thou to forgiveth me, and I've leveled the plane now, so we can, so, but this is the New Living Translation. It's a little different, not terribly in this section. But this is, Jesus had spoken to the crowd, and it, we tell us back in verse 30, it says there in chapter 8 of John, as he spoke these words, many believed in him. And then we come to verse 31, and Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. 32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus said, many of them believed, when they heard Jesus speak to them and teach them and preach to them, but he said, you'll be my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. And then he said that verse we all know, the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. Not religious doctrine, not theology, but truth will set you free. And that makes all the difference. Years ago I saw an old black and white film, and it intrigued me. It was about this man who was wandering through some forest and wilderness, and he came across an old house that was built in the 1700s. That's a dream of mine. I was so caught up into the film because I thought I'd love to do that. And I should just interject this, that there are some old foundations in these woods. And a fellow by the name of Danny Smith, who grew up here on the lake, he and I used to go exploring in these mountains. We particularly went looking for the cave that's mentioned in Bear's, what is it now?
Bible.
That, of course, the Bible's in there, right? And we never found it. But we did find graphite mines and other things. That Johnny knows what I'm talking about, right? And we found some old foundations. And it's exciting. And in this film, this man comes across this old 17th century home that's in disrepair, but still intact somewhat. And he did what I would do. Bust open the front door. Right? Wouldn't you? Explore. And he's exploring, and all of the furniture is there. And dusty, and you know, an old roll-top desk full of dust, and he moves all the cobwebs and the stuff and opens the desk, and he's going through it, and he finds a glass case for glasses, you know, and those old granny glasses are in it. Oh, I put the popcorn down at this time. This is neat. He finds that, and he gets that, and what's inside that glass case are rose-colored glasses in that old 1700 home. And he says, I got to take this. And he takes those glasses, and he goes home, and you know, he puts those glasses on, and something strange and awesome happens, which only can happen in a Hollywood film. That he began to see people as they really are. He saw the truth in people. He went to work. And while he was there, he said, where'd you get those neat glasses? He said, I found them in an old home. And he met the boss. And, you know, the boss was saying one thing, but he could see the truth about it. He got home and, you know, with his family, he put those rose-colored glasses on, and he saw the truth about what his wife said, but what she was really saying. And others, his friends. And you can imagine, the film goes on, and it was cleverly done, and there's a lot of conflicts because of this, because he's seeing the truth about people. I can't tell you the whole film, but I can tell you this, that at the end what happens is, he finally looks in the mirror. Yeah, hello. And those rose-colored glasses that had this sort of mystical kind of thing, ability to show truth, nearly kill him when he sees himself. And you know what he found out? The whole thing, it's not that he looks at, like, in the mirror and sees this ugly, decrepit, like you might think. That's not how the film went. The film went, he couldn't stand the fact that he didn't really know the truth about himself. It was the revelation that he hadn't seen what he really was like. Pretty good film, isn't it? Right? Jesus said that if you want to change, if you want to really go forward, then we need to know the truth. And the truth about ourselves. And we can't come to God in any other way than truthfully, without any kind of pretense. You know? We have to come just that way. Because God, that's what God can work with. Oswald Chambers said this. Listen, you have to listen carefully to this quote. I had to read it a few times. It says, if the Spirit of God has given you a vision of what you are apart from the grace of God, you know there is no criminal who is half so bad in actuality as you know yourself to be in possibility. Talk about those rose-colored truth glasses. Let me read it again. He said, if the Spirit of God has given you a vision of what you are apart from the grace of God, you know there is no criminal who is half so bad in actuality as you know yourself to be in possibility. Without God, we are capable and possible of anything without His grace. Have you ever gone to Barnes & Noble or some other bookstore or the library and just hung out a little bit in the self-help center? You know, the health center section, self-help section? Just hang out there and wait and see who shows up. You know? Now, I'm not talking about condemning or judging these people. But have you ever just gone there and said, who's looking for help? Interesting. Most people probably think you are looking for help, right? But the books there, they have books that are on everything. They have books on confidence, how to get assertiveness, how to win and influence friends. That's a good one. My daughter, I'm very proud of her, she made Student of the Month, went to the Rotary Club who presents that, and they gave her a great book. And the book was How to Win and Influence Friends. And I thought that was pretty interesting. You obviously don't. It just struck me kind of really interesting to give that out to the Student of the Month people. How to be a better me? There's a lot of interesting titles, a lot of different ideas there, but there's one problem with going to the self-help section of whether it's the bookstore or a library. You know what it is? You can't fix what you don't face. And I've found very often that people go there for self-help, but it's not what they need because they're not facing what they need. They're not facing the truth. It's easy to admit or to confess to things that you willingly and acceptingly say, this is what I need. But when God points something out, we don't always like it. We don't always want to accept it. We lie to ourselves. There was a man who went, you know, he had so many things he knew was wrong with him. He just knew it. He said, I've got so much wrong with me physically. So he goes to the doctor. And he says, doctor, this is broken. This is broken. These glands are broken. He says, my kneecaps are broken here and here and here. And the back of my neck right about here, the top of my head. My two eyelids here and here hurt. The doctor examined him. He said, sir, you've got a broken finger. But that's how we are with God. You know, we think we know what's wrong with us. We say, God, if you could only fix this. God, you know what? If only you'd fix him, I'd be okay. Right? God, and you know, we forget what the Bible tells us, and it's this: the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, search all hearts. You know, thank God we can go to him for truth. And yes, truth about us. Because we've got a world of ideas of, God, what needs fixing in me? But one session in the presence of the Holy Spirit, one touch of not your finger saying it's this, Lord, it's that, but just one touch of God's finger, and he meets the need in us. But it's the truth. In this portion of Scripture, they didn't want to hear the truth. In fact, if you read on, I'm not going to read on tonight, I'll just tell you that many of them, when they heard Jesus say, if you really want to be free, then you know you need to know the truth. If you'll know the truth, you will be free. They said, well, we don't need to be free. We're children of Abraham. We are free. And Jesus said, no, you're not. We do a lot of things to avoid the truth about ourselves. And I'm just going to quickly run through them tonight. See if you recognize any of them. We sometimes just keep so busy finding and trying to fix everyone else. Isn't it true? We're really good mechanics on everyone else's car. Well, maybe not. But we're good at fixing everyone else. The second thing is this. We sometimes just like to keep Good Time Charlie going so we don't have to face the truth about ourselves. Or, I've come across this, as soon as the truth is revealed, maybe by someone else, we detonate a bomb and make such an explosion about it that we don't face it ourselves. And it comes down to this, that God wants us to change. God wants us to grow. God wants us to go forward in him. He doesn't want just us to sing, what a wonderful change in my life has happened. He wants us to sing, what a wonderful change is happening in my life. Because we need that, and the world needs to see that we're changing. And the world's desirous to see that we're changing. Let me ask you again as I began. What is God changing in you? Where are you growing? Where are you going forward? Whether you've been saved 6 months or 60 years, if Christ is abiding in us, then we're constantly being made like him. But that's not going to happen unless you're willing to face the truth. And I don't know how long you're here for. Maybe you're here for a day or overnight or the week. Maybe the Holy Spirit, I don't doubt that he will put a finger on your heart and say, this is the truth about you. And it's not to just shame you. We know God isn't like that, right? It's not just about ever about condemnation. It's about setting us free. It's about a more abundant life. It's about knowing him in a greater way, broadening our hearts for him. Are you willing for that? Are you willing for the Holy Spirit to speak truth to you? And like I said, if you read this portion of Scripture, you'll find that it's easier said than done. But maybe it'll be in your devotion, or maybe that you have in the morning, or maybe it will be in a meeting where the Holy Spirit says, I want to speak to you about you. You know, we all know the story of Jacob, how he tricked his father, Isaac, and when his father said, who are you? He said, who did he say he was? He said he was Esau, right? He lied. And you know how later on, after he ran away with that blessing, and years later, when Esau came looking for him, how he wrestled with that angel. And what did the angel ask Jacob? What did he ask him?
What's your name?
What's your name? Did Jacob say Esau? No, he faced the truth, didn't he? But he got his blessing, didn't he? He got his blessing. He had to say that God had to get him down, boil him down to nothing. I'm the trickster. I'm the supplanter. That's who I am. And it was okay. Isn't it wonderful that in the presence of God, it's okay to take the mask off? It feels good, doesn't it? And say, Lord, here I am. I come to you just as I am, but this assurance I have that you'll take me as I am and you'll make me what I ought to be, body, soul, and spirit. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful change in my life when Jesus came into my heart. And he's working still. And may God do that for us. Father, we thank you for the truth. It has set us free. It is setting us free. And we pray, Lord God, that as you have brought us all here to camp, whether on staff or as guests or we're here for the summer, we pray that the truth will prevail. We pray in this world of deception, lies, Lord, we pray that in this world where so many are lying to themselves, that you'll speak truth to us. You'll abide in us. That abundant life will whelm up in us. We pray, God, that you'll do a real deep work in us in these days, whether it's days or a week or a month that we're here. Do an eternal work in us. We just trust you to do this and believe you to do it. And Lord, we pray the same for each one of these campers again. Bring them to truth, to know you, our only and most wonderful Savior. We worship you and thank you. And we ask this in your great name. Amen.